The day of the medical examination came, and Dr. Maudsley presented himself at the house. As usual, Charlie was not there to welcome the visitor. Hester had informed him of the doctor's visit in her usual way, a letter left outside his rooms on a tray, and having heard no more about it, assumed quite correctly that he took no interest in the matter. The patient was in one of her sullen but unresisting moods. She allowed herself to be led into the room where the examination took place and submitted to being poked and prodded. She could not be induced to speak a single word. Dr. Maudsley found his patient to be underweight and to have lice, otherwise she was physically healthy in every respect. Her psychological state, however, was more difficult to determine. "I must do some more research," he told Hester when they met to discuss the patient after the examination, "and I shall certainly look very closely at the significance of her being a twin." Hester nodded. "The way I look at it is this," she said. "In a number of ways, you could view the twins as having divided a set of characteristics between them, where an ordinary, healthy person would feel a whole range of different emotions, display a great variety of behaviours. The twins, you might say, have divided the range of emotions and behaviours into two and taken one set each. One twin is wild and given to physical rages, the other is indolent and passive. One prefers cleanliness, the other craves dirt. One has an endless appetite for food, the other can starve herself for days. Now, if this polarity, we can argue later about how consciously it has been adopted, is crucial to Adeline's sense of identity, it is unsurprising, is it not, if she suppresses within herself everything that, in her view, falls on Emmeline's side of the boundary?"
"It's a curious idea," he answered cautiously. "I should have thought the opposite, wouldn't you? That being twins, you could expect them to be more alike than dissimilar."
"But we know from observation that that isn't the case," she countered briskly.
"While this idea of yours is an interesting one," he put on a sympathetic smile to soften the effect of his discouragement, "I don't recall ever reading about such a division of character between twins in any of the authorities."
She ignored the smile and met his eyes levelly. "It isn't in the authorities, no. If it was going to be anywhere, it would be in Lawson, and it isn't."
"You have read Lawson?"
"Of course. I would not dream of pronouncing an opinion on any subject without being sure of my references first."
"Oh."
"There is a reference to the Peruvian boy twins in Harwood that is suggestive, though he stops short of the full conclusion that might be drawn."
"I remember the example you mean."
He gave a little start.
"Oh, I see the connection. Well, I wonder whether the Brazenby case study is of any relevance."
"I haven't been able to obtain the full study. Can you lend it to me?" So it began. Impressed by the acuity of Hester's observations, the doctor lent her the Brazenby case study. When she returned it, there was a sheet of pithily expressed notes and questions attached. He, in the meantime, had obtained a number of other books and articles to complete his library on twins, recently published pieces, copies of work in progress from various specialists, foreign works. He found, after a week or two, that he could save himself time by passing these to Hester first, and reading for himself just the concise and intelligent summaries she produced. When, between them, they had read everything it was possible to read, they returned to their own observations. They read. They thought. They wrote. They met. They discussed. This went on until they knew everything there was to know about twins, but there was still one thing they did not know, and it was the one thing that mattered.